Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
All right, it is big news, so we should reiterate it. If you're just jumping in here in the 9 o'clock hour, Jimmy Ward arrested, Texan safety, early this morning. I'll read the first part of Jonathan Alexander's article once again. And then we'll move on to Nick Chubb for the time being. Houston Texan safety Jimmy Ward is facing a felony assault family violence charge in Montgomery County following an incident at his home in Magnolia early Thursday. According to information from the Montgomery County Jail, Ward was arrested on the scene around 5:30 a.m. We should probably emphasize this next sentence since somebody had texted in and I read the text like, well, they open at 8 and they'll probably be out on bond by 10 and blah, blah, blah. He is held without bond right now. So I think that is, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a law expert to any degree. I read he's held without bond, and that seems to carry a little bit of weight, I guess. I don't want to make too much out of it. I don't know.
Yeah, I have zero.
I'm just telling you how I'm internalizing it. He's held without bond.
Somebody, one of our lawyers or legal people or somebody who works at the jail
I'll text my son. He probably knows. So, yeah, I'll find out. But that's the news.
Your poor Sammy, now that he's a lawyer. Listen, everybody, I know I'm about to say something, but
ain't that poor.
I feel bad for lawyers. And they're probably kind of like any and every legal question, no matter how far outside their purview it is.
Oh, yeah. No, he's in construction law, to be clear. Yeah.
And then he's like, then they have to either talk out of their butts or say, like, listen, honestly, I can't really give you a good answer on that.
Yeah.
My 3 years of law school didn't teach me every aspect about every county courthouse operates.
Or whorehouse.
I learned that elsewhere.
Yes. All right. So they tried to reach out to Jimmy's agent, Jonathan Alexander did. Unsuccessful, unclear if he has an attorney representing him right now. So we'll continue to keep an eye on the news regarding Jimmy Ward. We'll get to Nick Chubb here in a second. I was thinking about this, Seth, during the break. I'm like, we do not get reports like these very much with the Houston Texans. This is new territory. Not new territory, but unfamiliar territory, I'll call it, because I'm looking at NFLArrest.net, which is a database that keeps track of all of the arrests by team, by nature of the transgression, by conference, by everything. You can chop up and parse the information any way you want to. Since 2000, the Texans have the fewest number of arrests in the NFL among all 32 teams.
They've got the advantage of not having been in the league for the first couple of years, but they were for a long, long time, and it feels like it's remained that way.
Yeah.
They're usually among the lowest number of arrests in the NFL, and a lot of the guys that do get arrested, it's been not as notable. The names are the starters, and they end up either getting kind of shuffled out of the organization. Without knowing exactly what the allegations are or what the situation was, we don't have a clue at this point whether there's going to be something that you wonder, okay, is this the kind of thing that the Chiefs would turn a blind eye to, for instance? Or is it going to be something that nobody would turn a blind eye to? We have no clue.
We have no clue on it right now. Boy, this is the wormhole I'm going to get in today. This NFLarrest.net, this thing is incredible. My God.
It was for a while. It was one of those things we looked at. Now, I feel like Bob McNair was a little bit more active in maybe telling, this is just how it felt to me.
Yeah.
It feels like Cal is a little bit more hands off when it comes to, hey, Casario, Nick, this is your you're going to establish your standards, et cetera, et cetera. I have no idea. Like, he feels like Cal is a little bit more hands off in regards to that than perhaps Bob McNair was. Bob McNair wasn't a heavy handed owner. It's for a long time with the Texans, you'd look at it and it was a bunch of Boy Scouts that weren't that good at playing football. And a lot of Texans fans would look at it and say, like, listen, I'm willing to sacrifice an arrest here and there.
Yeah.
If you look at various NFL championship teams and you would look at guys on their roster who played a pivotal part and you think, oh, yep, that guy wouldn't be allowed on the Texans roster.
Yeah.
There was a time where it felt like they veered a little too close to just not wanting nothing but Eagle Scouts out there, where I feel like this version of the Texans has maybe a little bit more latitude with stuff like that. And I'm saying this independent of whatever the Jimmy Ward situation
is.
We have no idea what Jimmy Ward was involved with or why he was arrested exactly or what happened.
Yeah, we don't. I'm just thinking, boy, if I'm playing it forward here, and if it is something that the arrest is valid and it's something that is, that is, that the optics of it are terrible and the actuality of it is terrible too. I think about D'Amico, like, that's his guy, man. Like, he brought Jimmy Ward in, and for it to end like, if it were to end like that, these are all things I'm thinking ahead about as we learn more information. And I'm guessing we will learn more information about this. Someone says on the text page, no bond, perhaps a firearm was involved. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No need to see a judge before a bond is set. Okay. That's a few people saying that. Hasn't seen a judge yet, so you can't get a bond. All right. We're probably out over our skis a little bit once we start talking about bonds and judges and things like that, admittedly. But this is, again, this is the Texans. I'm looking. 17 arrests in the history of the franchise, Seth. 17 arrests since 2000. I mean, obviously, as you point out, they've got a two-year advantage. I mean, if someone got arrested in 2001, you know, while they're kind of getting the franchise set up and things like that, you know.
Well, especially in some of those other franchises. Like, remember the Cowboys had that three-year stretch where they were having, like, two defensive linemen arrested every year?
Oh, yeah.
Their defensive line sounded like their defensive line meeting room must have just been absolute mayhem.
The Greg Hardy era is what we call that.
Rookies are coming in feeling like fresh fish.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, the veterans are banging their tin cans against the bars.
Like Shawshank. I'm not supposed to be here. I was supposed to get drafted by the Redskins. I'm not supposed to be here.
Rookies walking around with their, you know, with their pants sagging all over them. Like,
yeah. And it's fat ass.
Veteran?
Fat ass. By a nose. Yeah.
My veteran D lineman treats me right. Yeah.
All right.
Gave me an extra Jello on my birthday.
That's right. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. We'll keep an eye on the Jimmy Ward news, which is obviously no laughing matter. Joe Mixon is going to have a new teammate whose name is Nick Chubb. And Joe Mixon, for those wondering maybe how Joe Mixon feels about this, I don't know how necessarily he feels about Nick Chubb coming in as a teammate who may take some carries from him, but he is very fond of Nick Chubb, the person and football player. This is Joe Mixon last year on the Greenlight podcast, Chris Long's podcast, the week that Nick Chubb was set to return from his catastrophic knee injury from the season before.
Nick Chubb comes back this weekend. Is he just one of the most, right? Yes. Is he one of the most universally respected backs? Like, if you just walked into every running back room in the NFL and asked him,
yeah,
is he that guy? I mean,
me and Chubb came out of high school together, 2014, man. So, I've been knowing Chubb since, you know, back in them high school days, and to obviously one know the type of player that he is. I mean, he's capable of a home run at any time. He's going to wear the defense out. And obviously I think he's very underappreciated as a running back, but I think Cleveland, they're doing everything that they can to stick by him. A person like me can appreciate that. You know what I'm saying? And I think that him coming back, I think it's going to do a major, it's going to be a major difference in our offense. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I think that's something that they've been missing, but Chubb is the heart of their team. And, you know, I'm just thankful that my man is back doing what he able, you know, what he always wanted to do. I mean, I just love that about him, and I'm definitely one of his biggest supporters and rooting for him.
And again, that's from back like in week 6 of last year, that audio. We should point that out. That's Joe Mixon talking about Nick Chubb. Seth, the cycle that Nick Chubb is on right now, sort of the career arc he's on, is nothing new when it comes to running backs. There's a lot of running backs we've seen have big, big seasons, get hit with injuries or maybe just normal wear and tear, and here at the end, they still want to play football, so they're signing for 1 year for very minimal money at places. That's normal. I'm racking my brain right now to think of a pairing in a backfield that's got more juice to it over the course of their careers recently. You know, putting the injuries aside, just like Nick Chubb.
If you just take the name.
Just the name and what they've accomplished. Like Nick Chubb at his peak was arguably the best running back in football. Joe Mixon, I don't think, was ever there, but he was certainly at that borderline Pro Bowl level. He made the Pro Bowl last year as a Houston Texan. If they get the healthy version, again, healthy in their late 20s version of both of these guys, this has a chance to be a really, really exciting backfield this season.
It has a chance. I mean, I'm trying really hard to fight my emotions on it and remind myself that, man, you know, the NBA is the worst at this, where you get the big name. Oh, it's Carmelo Anthony.
Right.
You got to look at the contract. Carmelo Anthony, very similar kind. He had a $2 million contract.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of questions about just where he was in his career at that point.
Yeah.
And I think likewise with Nick Chubb, look at the contract. It's $2.5 million plus incentives. You can't overstate how big a challenge it is for a 29-year-old running back to come back from a catastrophic knee injury like that. But if there is going to be a guy that can do it, Nick Chubb, in terms of his work ethic and everything else, is wired a lot like Adrian Peterson. Adrian Peterson, it was just, air quotes, just an ACL, but he came back incredibly fast. And we saw and heard about how hard Adrian Peterson was working out and how impressive he was in his workouts. And I think Nick Chubb is wired that same way. And then the double-edged blade here with his knee injury is that he had a similarly catastrophic knee injury in college that required multiple surgeries. It was multiple ligaments and or tendons that he tore in college. And he came back from it. He was a younger man then, but he came back and was brilliantly athletic. This is the same knee that he's injured again this time. So he's demonstrated that he can come back from an injury like that before. You just wonder, all right, but can he do it at the age of 29? And can he do it to the same? So for people saying, hey, he played last year, right. It's a 2-year recovery from an injury like that. And he averaged 3.3 yards per carry behind an admittedly really bad offensive line. But he clearly wasn't himself. Like if you watch his highlights from last year, he wasn't the same guy.
No.
So that's the big question. If he gets back to 90% of what he was, this will be an all-time coup in affordable free agency signing.
Are you kidding me?
If it doesn't work out, worst case scenario, it doesn't work out, and let's say they have to cut him or something, it's $2.5 million. It's pocket change to an NFL salary cap.
Yep. More on Nick Chubb. This is actually from Chubb himself. This is talking about when he felt like he was back to his old self.
Probably while I was at home during my off season training, I had all my numbers that I usually do in off season, so speed and weights and things like that. So.
And that might not sound like a lot, but listen, I've had 14 or 15 orthopedic surgeries in my career. And there is an element where sometimes you're cleared to play by the medical staff because structurally everything looks good, but you don't feel the same. And you might, let's say you have surgery on your left leg, and our old strength coach, Dan Riley, was really good with injured guys in that, like, he had him do a lot of single leg stuff in the weight room coming back because Dan wanted to know, when is his left leg as strong as his right leg? And a lot of times guys would be cleared medically, but you still didn't really feel good about them because their strength wasn't back.
Yeah.
So it's not the only factor. There's a lot of other factors, but for him to be back to his same old weights and everything that was his standard in the off season, it's probably better than he was last year because he didn't, you know, he said that this was the year, this is the off season that he felt back to full strength and doing all of his old PRs or whatever they were. That's a really good sign because some guys never get it back.
Nope.
Some guys injure their knee and their legs always, especially when it's multiple ligaments, there's a chance for like nerve damage and everything. So they just don't get that strength back. That's a good sign. That's a really good sign. The other good sign is the fact that before he hurt his foot last year, he had an unbroken string of play. And so he was playing every single week. I would hope that means that he didn't have, you know, if he had arthritis in the knee, there would be swelling. It might be harder to manage. So he might just not have been back to full strength last year. So, and that there was still a lot of upside in this being a 2-year recovery.
They were using him. I mean, Cleveland was using him at a volume level, maybe not like peak Chubb, but yeah. There were, if you go look at his game log for those 7 or 8 games that he was back for last year, he came back in week 7. I mean, it was 12 carries, 20 carries, 15 carries, and then there'd be like a 7-carry game. I mean, they were using him quite a bit. All right, I found the cut you and I were talking about earlier in the show where Nick Chubb showed himself to be maybe the most humble skill position guy that I've ever seen behind a microphone. The question was actually about coming and playing for D'Amico Ryans, his first impression of D'Amico Ryans.
Yeah, I mean, he's a young coach, a lot of energy, a lot of intensity. He's young, fresh, he wants to win. And, you know, I was questioning why they wanted me. And then I came here and I saw a bunch of guys who like to work and not talk. And I realized that I'm a perfect fit. So I realized why they wanted me here. And I'm excited about it.
Okay. Yeah, I was questioning why they wanted me.
7,000 career rushing yards. I don't know.
I don't know if I've ever heard a marquee NFL player say that about himself. No matter how most marquee NFL players could get in a catastrophic car accident, be in a body cast, and say, "What do you mean nobody wants me?
Why is the phone not? Why is the phone not ringing? What the hell?
What's wrong with these idiot GMs?
Jeez.
Yeah." I just like it. It jives with everything you've heard out of Cleveland, which is, man, they love this guy up there. There was probably the most beloved player since Joe Thomas. And a guy that would have, as you pointed out, I think you pointed out yesterday that his career earnings so far are $33 million.
I might have been Jonathan Peterlin pointed it out. No, it's Jonathan Peterlin from 92.3 pointed that out when he was on
with us. Yeah, it's not like he's sitting on a bit, you know, look. Yes,
$33 million
is a lot of money. Yeah. But a lot of guys, there's a lot of guys that are sitting on a pile of $200 million that would never play for $2.5 million.
That's
I don't
correct.
Care what, you know.
That's correct.
And, like, I do. There is an element to him that just feels like he just wants to play football. And that's probably what really hurt Browns fans is that, look, if I'm a Browns fan, I get it. You're going to move on. You drafted 2 running backs. But the guy would have played for $2.5 million.
Dude.
Come on. We got so many chumps that I hate on this roster. And he would have played for $2.5 million. What are you doing?
There was a video I saw yesterday that I think the Browns put up. The Browns must have put it together. It was from the exit interviews, it looked like, after the Browns season was over. Or maybe something with – maybe Chubb had gone in. Because I think the video is from like February of last year. So maybe it was after the Super Bowl was over. And he's leaving the Browns facility – for what he feels like is the last time. And he's getting super emotional while he's driving about it. He's like, yeah, man, like this is where I grew up. I became a man here and all that other stuff. He seems like a really thoughtful guy. Nick Caserio, actually, when we talked to him earlier, we had Nick on earlier today. If you want the full interview, it'll be on our podcast or on the Odyssey app, Rewind, whatever you want to do. He brought this up when we asked him about Nick Chubb. We didn't ask him about this quote, but he said, yeah, I mean, he said yesterday that he likes to come to a team with a bunch of guys who want to work and don't talk. You know, that stood out, obviously, to the Texans, the type of guy that he is. So
yeah. The other one, I thought it was interesting that – oh, we got to go, don't we?
Yeah.
Apologize.
Yeah, we'll get to – what was it? We can get to one more on the other side.
It was the one
tease
about –
tease it, Seth.
Okay, there was he gave a little bit of a hint to perhaps the way Kaley is operating his offense,
okay,
which I
good.
Thought was interesting.
Okay, I do want to hear you talk about that, so we'll do that. We'll circle back to the topic that we were going to hit to when we got the news of Jimmy Ward getting arrested. If you missed it, Jimmy Ward arrested up in Montgomery County this morning on a family violence assault charge. We'll continue to keep an eye on the news wire for that, so we'll hit the topic Seth had. We'll do all that coming up next here in the 9 o'clock hour.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, the big news this morning, Texan safety Jimmy Ward arrested in Montgomery County at about 5:30 this morning on felony assault family violence charge. Getting texts coming in about further information coming out. I'm trying to verify that. No disrespect to you as texters, but I'd really like to have it from, you know, the Chronicle or somebody like that before we go with some details that may or may not be emerging on this arrest of Jimmy Ward.
You know, the trade of Kenyon Green for C.J. Gardner-Johnson obviously happened long, long before any of this. At that point, you looked at Jimmy Ward and, hey, he's a safety, but, man, you love what he does. I liked what he really did when he took over for Jalen Petrie in that nickelback role. But he's just been injured a whole lot. Yep. He's in his 30s, and it's just, they were looking to find somebody younger and more durable, reliable, et cetera. C.J. Gardner-Johnson's had his share of injuries, obviously, too. But it's not to just strictly talk about the football side of it without knowing too much about the allegations at all. It's not as potentially devastating a blow to the football team side of things. There's obviously a much more serious matter here than it would be otherwise. But it also might open up some avenue where the Texans are going to start looking around for either a trade, a waiver wire cut during training camp, whatever it might be, for some more veteran presence.
Or Jalen Reed's chances of making this team as a 6th-round pick just went way up. You know, like give him a chance. We are heading into a dead part of the calendar here, you know?
Right. Yeah. No, and his chance of making the team, that's where it goes from, man. Like, look at the depth chart before. It was okay. Like any 6th-round pick, you're fighting to make the team. But now, for a lot of those guys, and including, you know, MJ Stewart's still on the team.
Yeah.
There's guys that potentially have a more realistic avenue to see playing time.
If this hadn't happened, Jimmy Ward's on the team. You know, like, that's the thing. Yeah. Like, he's making the team. So, yeah, it's purely from that standpoint. That's really all we have to address right now, because we're still awaiting details on this. But this is a story. My advice would be keep it tuned to Sports Radio 610 all day long today, because as details emerge, we will jump into them as soon as we get them. All right, so just to close out on Nick Chubb, Seth, you had one more thing you wanted to hit with Nick Chubb that I'm anxious to hear you talk about here.
The audio that we had lined up beforehand.
Chubb 8.
He was asked about which adjustments he has to make in working with a new offensive line.
For the most part, it's all the same. You know, running the ball, the same thing I've done in Cleveland, same blocking scheme, it's the same play. So it's been fine from that adjustment.
Yeah, okay, so when I heard that immediately, I thought, okay, man, there's going to be a lot of people hear that and think, wait a second, Cleveland does a lot of stuff that's similar to San Francisco. What the hell are you talking about? I think that likewise, it's you run the same stuff everywhere. It's just a matter of just how you tweak it yourself. So I don't think that there's just nothing like football is football, and a lot of the terminology crosses over and remains similar. I'm not going to read too much into that, other than that, like with Kaylee, when he puts his imprint on an offense, it's about, and as it is with any offensive coordinator, it's as much about terminology and play selection and what are you running most frequently. So this, I don't think they're trying to replicate exactly what Cleveland does. It's just that there's nothing earth-shattering or groundbreaking or anything that they're going to be asking these guys to do. It's really just a matter of getting a feel for how Kaylee wants to operate and how he wants to run it.
I think Nick Chubb choosing to sign here is really interesting to me, just based on, in large part, the offensive line situation here. There were probably lesser teams that he could have gone to, maybe for more money, that probably have better offensive lines and certainly maybe more solidified offensive lines than the Houston Texans. He's coming to a team that's trying to figure out who the five best guys are right now.
That's the biggest question. Yeah. If I'm a running back and I'm looking at, just if I casually look at the stats or what have you, maybe part of it, maybe the fact that Joe Mixon had respectable numbers, and without doing a deep dive, Chubb wouldn't know that. Yeah. A lot of that yardage was accumulated after Mixon had to dodge three guys in the backfield.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he ended up, you remember the Patriots game?
Yes.
Patriots game, they ran for 150 or 175 yards or something, but after the game, you're thinking, they didn't run the ball that well versus the Patriots.
Because Joe Mixon had a huge, like, 45-yard run to swing field position, yeah, and Damian Pierce had, like, a 70-yard run for a touchdown.
Right.
That's why, like, it was, you're right. The numbers in the box score, you're like, whew, they just steamrolled these guys. Like, well, yeah, for two plays they did, you know?
It would be interesting to look back. If you look at the Texans rushing this year, if you just take out the top 10 runs, like the top longest runs, and do that with every team in the league, I wonder where they would rank. Because the actual success rate, like how often are you getting 4 yards? It seemed like barely ever, except for when Joe Mixon hit a good one.
That's right. All right, so Nick Chubb, a Houston Texan, C.J. Gardner-Johnson, who we just mentioned earlier in this segment, all of a sudden the importance of C.J. Gardner-Johnson, I would say, amps up, just because it's kind of similar to the cornerback position, Seth. Like, you got really, you know, two top guys at Kamari Lassiter and Derek Stingley Jr., but boy, we don't know what we have after that. And now with safety, where Jimmy Ward, I think, was going to slot in as the third safety on this team, and you know, we got to see how things play out. It's not looking good right now. But you got Kalen Bullock and you got C.J. Gardner-Johnson. Those two guys, I think similarly, there is. And then Jalen Petrie is sort of this jackknife that kind of does his own thing. This is Brandon Graham talking about Brandon Graham, former teammate of C.J. Gardner-Johnson in Philadelphia two times, about how much Philly is going to miss C.J. Gardner-Johnson.
Man, C.J., he had that fire and that passion. He brought it every day. It wasn't perfect all the time, but I mean, man, you knew he was loyal. He was committed. And, you know, I just know that, we gonna miss him. And I hope that they soften their hearts, both sides. And then we just all move on.
Okay. Now he's starting to dig into some of the shade, I'm guessing, that CJ's been throwing at Vic Fangio and other people there in the front office.
It feels like somebody who's trying to, you know, just smooth things over after somebody, when you have mutual friends get divorced and you're like, hey, listen, all right, let's let the feeling subside. I don't have to choose sides here.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, one of the people who got divorced is like, no, you either never talk to him again.
It's or me or her.
Just, yeah.
Yep, yep, yeah. Yep. No, Brandon Graham doesn't want that, man. Brandon Graham's sage old voice in Philadelphia wants all the feelings smoothed over. Yeah.
I liked how C.J. Gardner-Johnson in his live stream or whatever he was doing on Instagram, I think he was on Instagram Live or something, was responding to some Philly fan who basically said, we don't need you. And C.J. Gardner-Johnson said, hey, look at what happened when I left. Because in 2023... They were, is this part, is that in that clip?
It's in this one we've got right here. Yep, that's okay. That's okay. Here it is.
Won't see another ring without Philly. That's crazy. They probably won't see one without me. What the f*** you talking about? You saw what happened when I left. I'm popping now. What the f*** y'all talking about? I'm glad I'm in Texas. They say everything big in Texas. Booty, beers, and bottles.
I mean, I think he's walking.
It's true.
It's true. It is true.
Show me the lie.
Better than
Show me the lie.
More than Philly. For sure.
Yeah, show me the lie where he says, hey, you see what happened when I left. CJ Gardner-Johnson was there for a Super Bowl run in 2022. He's gone off to Detroit for a year. Philly almost falls apart. I thought the whole place was going to explode.
Well,
they were a mess. Yeah.
And he comes back and they win a Super Bowl.
There you go.
He goes to Detroit, who, if they had a real kicker, would have gone to a Super Bowl. They got to an NFC title. CJ Gardner-Johnson's been doing a lot of winning lately.
He didn't play much, but there because he was injured. But still.
Why let the facts get in the way of a good soundbite, man?
Yes.
I just want to hear the Ben, can we play it one more time? I just love the Texas part at the end. Booty! Yeah.
Won't see another ring without Philly. That's crazy. They probably won't see one without me. What the f*** you talking about? You saw what happened when I left. I'm going to pop it now. What y'all talking about? I'm glad I'm in Texas. They say everything bigger in Texas. Booty, beers, and bottles.
He's walking around the bowels of NRG Stadium saying that. Like,
what are people in Philadelphia most offended about in that, of those three things? Are they most offended by the booty, the beers?
No. That is a sports town. They are most offended by him acting like he's sort of the lucky talisman that's going to...
No. I know that, but in that specific insult, Texas being...
Of the three things, I got you.
Which is fairly like, hey, yo, no, our booties are real, are wicked big.
I would say, my mom was from Philadelphia. She's no longer with us. My aunt, her sister is from Philadelphia, and I would say definitely of those three things, the thing they would take most offense to is that the bottles are bigger in Texas than they are here. You know, like the beer or the bottles.
Champagne bottles?
One of the beer. One of the alcohol.
Philly's a town that likes to pretend they're blue collar, even though they're not blue
beer.
Collar
a lot
anymore.
Of Yingling up there. That's where it's made up in Pennsylvania. You're right. It's the beer. It's definitely the beer. Yeah. My mom loved a good beer. Yeah. It's a beer. Mm-hmm. Definitely not the booty. She's like, yeah, you can have your big booties. That's fine. That's cool. Just give me my big beers. That's all. Yeah.
Like Philadelphia's got more of a sitting around watching soap operas all day, big booty. More so than like a big booty that's just like made for action,
you're
you know?
Spot on. Yeah. My mom loved her stories, man. Yeah. She did. She liked
Philadelphia
her soap
operas. More about wide big booties, where Houston will show you some bubble.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, my mom did not have a wide
booty. I don't
want
to hear about your, oh, you got a big booty? Yes, it's 8 miles wide. Okay. No.
Whoa.
Bubble booty.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah. It's big. It's depth. It's not necessarily width. Yes. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you here on a Thursday. All right, we'll circle back. We'll see if there's any more news on Jimmy Ward arrested this morning up in Montgomery County. We'll get you ready. Astros trying to win a series tonight as well. We will get you out of here. We'll find out what the in-the-loop question of the day is as well. Stay there.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores?
How many kids to a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, the mugshot is up now of Jimmy Ward. It is out there. It is on Twitter. It's on my timeline. And so, man, that's disappointing to see, man. There's no other way to slice it. That is disappointing to see. A few people have pointed out, Seth, the fact that the word felony is included. And I guess we should reset here. We're getting new listeners dipping in all the time because this is big news. I'll make it quick. Houston Texan safety Jimmy Ward is facing a felony assault family violence charge in Montgomery County following an incident at his home in Magnolia early Thursday. According to information from the Montgomery County Jail, Ward was accused of strangulation and arrested on the scene around 5:30 a.m. He is held without bond. So that is new information. I hit refresh on the article on the Chronicle. That is new information that we did not have. They didn't have any information on the arrest before other than it occurred.
Yeah.
So I'll repeat that part here.
I think some of this, too, is I think when it factors into, okay, how does it affect the football team? How will the Texans handle it? You know, it's all alleged at this point, obviously, is whether this was versus allegedly a woman or a man and, what was the relationship. It doesn't always mean, violence against your wife. It's just something that happened in the home. And hopefully the details that emerge will be not as awful as what you just kind of jumped to in your brain immediately.
That is new.
But we have no idea.
That is new information. So according to information from the Montgomery County Jail, Ward was accused of strangulation and arrested on the scene around 5:30 a.m., he is held without bond. Yeah, I've had a few law enforcement or lawyers text and say the felony assault thing should not be ignored, I guess. That is a noteworthy thing in this bit of news as we wait for more details to unfold from this Jimmy Ward arrest. So, all right, as we continue on with the show here, circling over, the Astros trying to win themselves a series. We've not given them much attention today because we had Nick Caserio on a little bit earlier. We talked a lot of J.J. Watt being at the facility yesterday, and then this Jimmy Ward news comes out of left field. What are we feeling today? We're feeling good today about Ryan Gusto and the others from the pitching rotation have given us a lot to be hopeful for lately.
You've got a six-man rotation during this stretch of no days off, and the thing last night that I'd just love to see more of is the actual hitting and scoring runs in deluges. That's something that you'd like to think, man. If you had told me before the season, man, you're going to have a bunch of injuries, but the bullpen's going to be really good, but you're going to have to rely on, at various times, how many rookies have been starting pitchers so far this year?
So far, let's see here. Colton Gordon, Brandon Walter's not a rookie, so he doesn't count, but he's new to the Astros, and he's a career minor leaguer. Ryan Gusto, rookie. A blue ball got a start in there at some point. I can't remember if he's seen some time in the big leagues.
So,
like, they've been piecing it together.
So a boatload of rookies, right? That right now, I think that you would have expected that the offense would have had more to do with it. Okay, they're leading the division. They've been winning baseball games, and you've had, like, right now you've got three younger rookie pitchers in a six-man rotation. What's the key? Your bullpen. Your bullpen is saving them from, these guys don't have to go more than four. If they go five innings, it's a revelation, and there you have it. But the offense just hasn't kept pace. They're a below-average offense. That's the area of the team where I feel like, if I'm going to try to be as cold-hearted and calculating about it as possible, if I'm going to be total stat nerd about it, they should be better than they are right now offensively.
Yeah.
So that's in there somewhere. Just please, just at some point, including with Yordan coming back, just please, please, just put more than three runs on the board with regularity.
I refuse to believe that Christian Walker is going to have an OPS in the 600s all year. And I know we've been scarred by highly paid, aging, free agent first basemen that they've signed on three-year, $60 million deals before. Very recently, in fact. They're still paying one of them. Jose Abreu, I know we've been scarred. I refuse to believe. He's putting enough good swings on the ball, Christian Walker, to where to your point, I think what you're basically saying, Seth, is there's going to be some regression to the mean here with these guys. Like, yeah. Even Yiner Diaz, a guy who's only been up in the big leagues for a couple of years, has shown to be capable enough, like, okay, there's a better hitter in there that over the course of 162 games, you're going to get that version of Yiner Diaz or some semblance of it. Christian Walker, I think so too. I think Yordan Alvarez comes back. We now have a reason why maybe Yordan Alvarez had a 650 OPS or whatever it was. He had a hand injury. What the hell's so funny?
I wanted to fact check myself because I remembered last night Callis talking about how Christian Walker had been a lot better versus righties than lefties.
Yeah.
And it was so depressing because at the time, I think he said 208. He's like, because he said it this way. He said, he's been a lot better versus righties than lefties this year, batting 208 against righties. And I'm like, oh. So how bad could – now, after last night, he's up to 233 versus righties.
Against righties? Okay.
233 against righties, 103 against lefties.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
The right-handed.
So thank God that's a Christian Walker is the one guy who's happy there aren't more lefties in the lineup.
Weird. So he's got reverse splits, huh? Oh, no, he's hitting better against righties than he is against lefties. So there's got to be some of the righties in this lineup though that are more conventional stats that are like, could we at least get two lefties in the lineup one day? Could we at least force the other team to use a left-handed pitcher every now and then?
Now, to be fair, it's kind of lopsided because the Astros never see left-handed pitchers.
That's the thing, yeah.
He's faced 18 left-handed pitchers this year, or in 18 games. So it's not like he's had 29 at-bats against lefties
compared
to 215 against righties.
Yeah. What was the game recently? There was one game they had a huge offensive outburst, and it was against a lefty, and it might have been, Tampa Bay or somebody like that. I can't remember. But there was a lefty pitching, and they just shelled him. And I'm like, guys, don't shell him too much. You don't want to show to be too good against lefties, and everybody would be scared off against throwing a lefty out there against you. You know, we got to get Yordan back.
Never see him. And you got one lefty in the lineup when Melton's not out there, and he's only half a lefty. I wonder if how much Caratini might be enjoying just being able to take all his bats as a lefty and get into a groove with it. I don't know.
I think he just enjoys probably playing more. You know, he's getting a lot more run because
of this.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah, he's just getting more. Yeah.
He's playing more. You know, he's DHing at times. He's played a little bit of first base. So he actually gets to get off the bench a little bit more than he used to. It's a Fromber night tonight. So I'm feeling good about the at least winning this series against the Chicago White Sox. And then we got Correa coming to town this weekend. Well, Carlos is coming to town. My arch nemesis, the Minnesota Twins.
Carlos Correa, over under on whether, so I guess it's just a yes or no. I don't think you'll get more than one mention, but so over under on Carlos Correa somehow trying to take credit for Jeremy Pena's success.
Which, no, he's done with, oh yeah, because Pena's going to be an all-star. He'll do that. Which of the young pitchers that he never crossed paths with ever that have had good starts recently, do you think Carlos Correa will take credit for discovering?
He's like, he saw him in single A. He knew when he watched him in single A that it was going to be something special.
Colton Gordon, Ryan Gusto, or Brandon Walker, or Walter. Sorry, Walter.
I think out of nowhere he's going to say, I always felt they should have traded for Wisniewski. It's a shame he got hurt because that was something I've been agitating for a long time.
I wonder if he was agitated, or traded Tucker. You know, I was saying back in 2021, they got to trade Kyle Tucker for some prospects, you know, and that's good they did that. Paredes is going to be an all-star. I basically did the Paredes trade. Carlos is going to say that. Carlos is he's going to say that. So that's tonight. Astros and White Sox finish things up, and then Minnesota coming to town this weekend. So Texans done with mandatory minicamp, and Jimmy Ward arrested early this morning. Yeah, man. The we were just talking about. I was talking about with the guys on In the Loop a little bit earlier. Like what's the football alarmedness of this injury? And I'm like, a whole lot less than it would have been if it had happened 2 years ago when they brought him in to be like one of the linchpins on this defense. Like he makes plays when he's out there, but he's just never out there. Like I'm virtually unmoved from a football standpoint.
And also when he's playing deep safety. or in a deep look, there's just too many times where you can tell, boy, his if he doesn't have the perfect read, he does not have the speed to catch up to, say, the Alec Pierces of the world.
Yeah.
And that part of it, that's a part that was actually a little bit disappointing, is that, man, there's times where when playing safety, he's had some glitches in his game that I feel like a veteran shouldn't. And he's in his 30s and he's still adjusting to the speed and all the multiple injuries he's had. It's not looking great right now, but this is also purely in the alleged felony strangulation.
Yeah, yeah.
So it sounds really bad right now. We'll see what the details are.
The other things people have said is that when something like that happens, whether it's, you know, some sort of domestic, like someone, nowadays, someone is always getting arrested.
Somebody's going to get arrested.
Someone's going to get arrested in this situation.
And we haven't had any reports that it was violence against a woman at this point.
No,
that I've seen at least.
No. Like the entirety of the report is, and the Chronicle makes it clear in their article about this, which they are continually updating. Again, the new information in the article here is that Ward was accused of strangulation and arrested on the scene around 5:30 a.m. So they are updating this. That's the extent of the information. And he's held without bond. Felony, assault, family violence charge.
Let's do so. Yeah, okay, and family violence charge.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So
best case scenario, if he did in fact do something, it would hopefully be against another adult male of some sort that they got in an altercation.
That would be the
They sort it all out as nobody. Like, I guess that's probably
the possibilities.
If he did do something, that there's that's the best case.
Yeah. I hate that this is the first thing in the offseason. We got this 5 or 6 weeks, and the first thing is Jimmy Ward, who I like, man. Jimmy Ward was one of the best guests on the postgame show that we've ever had. He was incredible. He was really good. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens. As the details emerge, I'm sure In the Loop, starring John Lopez and Reggie Atatula, will be all over it, right?
Starring? I like that.
Yeah, starring. Starring Reggie Atatula, John Lopez, and Figgy Fig. Or is it featuring Figgy Fig like you do on those songs sometimes?
Ooh, that's a good question. Yeah. Figgy, what do you prefer? Yeah, I would say featuring.
Featuring? Yeah. Do you like Figgy? Figgy's
because he's featured.
He doesn't want to. Do you want to be starring? Do you want to be? Or you star? Yeah, Figgy wants to be one of the stars. Figgy, give a thumbs up to the star.
Figgy can star. I'm featuring.
Look at that.
Figgy is. It's Sports Radio 610. Figgy is kind of the Barry Bonds. Has his own office, kind of. He has a half a cubicle, more than any of us have. You should put a star on the door to your half a cubicle.
where, forgive my ignorance, where is the bit? Did Barry Bonds have his own office?
Barry Bonds had his own office. I think Kirk Cousins, Barry Bonds, and Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson's the one I always think of.
See, featuring can be like a bigger star. Like in a movie, it'll say starring so and so and so and so. Featuring Jack Nicholson.
That's true. We left it up to Figgy. He wants to be one of the stars. Hey, who am I to begrudge him?
By the way, Figgy, I'm going to lobby on behalf of you right now. I feel like they've given you kind of a cubicle, except it's wide open to anybody that can distract, pester you as they walk by.
Like me.
Would you prefer more of a closed cubicle? Like was just one? You're like in a corner. It's not even a cubicle. You're in a corner that abuts the cubicles, and it's open to the hallway.
Labor leader Seth Payne would like to know.
Yes.
Do we need to move behind this?
Would you like a proper cubicle?
I actually like the open cubicle because it felt like I'm just open to everybody. And, you know, if I had an office, my door will always be open.
Yeah, see, here's the thing, Seth. I think Figgy likes people more than you do.
I love people. I don't handle distractions well, as you know.
Yeah.
I get knocked off track and it takes me like a half hour to get back on track.
I'm with you. Hey, by the way, Crosstalk, speaking of getting knocked off track, I remembered. Thank you, Figgy reminded me. Crosstalk, sponsored by D&M Auto Leasing. This Jimmy Ward thing came out of nowhere, huh?
Yes,
how about that?
It did.
What did that do to the rundown? Was it a crumple up the rundown situation?
Not really.
Or was it a maneuver the rundown situation?
It kind of changed the intro.
The prioritization of the rundown.
That's about it.
Yeah.
It's hard when you're in a situation where you really don't, it's just pure allegations with zero details at this point. So you don't want to misstep on either side. Mm-hmm. It's wildly irresponsible and it's hard, man.
Yep.
So, we'll do it.
Yeah.
We'll take our missteps.
Oh, yeah.
But it's hard to do it.
Yeah, it is. It hurts. Hurts when it happens. Yeah.
Wait, you did say it came out of nowhere. And I'm sorry, this is the way my brain works is,
How would it have worked if it didn't come out? Like, if we had this, like, I don't know what the planned iteration of this
is. Oh, where it's like, you know, I feel like Jimmy Ward, we're due for a Jimmy Ward arrest.
Yeah,
that kind of thing.
That would be a lot, very different circumstance all the way across, both with who Jimmy Ward would have to be.
This is why it came out of nowhere. Has Jimmy Ward given any inkling at any time that this is him?
None.
Like, that he's a guy that's capable of something like this? So that's the out of nowhere part is maybe who we're talking about.
Yeah.
You know?
And, I mean, just the organization. I think you started mentioning it. Like, the Texans organizationally have not been the one to be in this type of circumstance.
17 arrests in the history of the organization, according to NFLarrests.net. The least amount since the year 2000.
If you allow me.
I did think of y'all's interview with Nick Terry because he said, well, we got 40 days. And I'm like, okay, there's one day that's.
Yeah. Good luck. Hope you weren't taking the kids to the museum today.
Without scandal, zero.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, man. Like, I find that to be absolutely fascinating. So, yeah, we'll talk about that leading in, honestly.
Team with the most arrests?
Who?
Care to take a guess?
Let me see. My natural thought is Kansas City.
Since 2000. So Kansas City's had a good recency bias for sure. Kansas City is in the top five.
Oh, this is tough.
Miami?
Not Miami. Begins with the same letter. There you go. How's that?
All right. Minnesota.
Yeah, I just didn't want this to turn into a big guessing game. Minnesota Vikings, number one.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
How much of that was from the one Love Boat incident?
The boat
was that
charge?
In the 2000s, or was that?
They've got like several dozen arrests, so some came from that. I don't know.
Yeah, Minnesota was pretty hairy there for a while.
Yeah.
They had it's something about people just being sequestered up there in the cold that you go loco. You go a little Jack Nicholson and
a little bit. A little bit. And Cincinnati, I closed this spreadsheet. I apologize. But Cincinnati is up there. That sounds right. That matches the eye test. Denver is number two.
Oh, wow.
How about that? Denver number two. Boy, and this thing breaks it down by the type of arrest.
Yeah. I do have something for y'all.
I'm going to be on this thing all day.
I do have something for y'all.
And a question of the day,
I'm going to call question of the day, just out of clear blue.
Yeah.
What? Has to do with the Knickerbockers.
Okay.
What's your most memorable rejection? Work, family, personal life?
Oh, that's
you got rejected.
That's an easy one. Eighth grade, walking home from school, asking Carrie Amoroso to be my girlfriend, and her basically laughing me off of the walking path.
They don't tell you that, do they? They're like, worst thing that it could say happen is they say she says no. It's like, there's actually worse.
There's a time in your life where one thing to be a salesperson and be conditioned, like, I'm going to hear eight no's for every one yes that I get. When you're asking out an attractive, eighth grade compadre who
as an eighth grader, right?
As an eighth grader, that's what I'm saying.
I like that middle school.
Yes, it'd be very clear. I didn't come back from college.
I'm just trying to help you out here, brother.
Yeah. Thank you.
I don't know, man. The key to my mental health has always been suppress and deny.
That's
suppress
right.
And deny. So I don't know. Yeah, I've got. I'm gonna have to go do some. Nothing springs to mind, and I know I've had a lot of really embarrassing rejections. I can't think of one right now.
I so want to go, look at you, never been rejected.
No, definitely been rejected, but I try to force it out into the deep dark places and inevitably end up in a stroke.
If I do start thinking about my sales career, there probably are like deals that I thought I was getting, you're getting, and then they just get rug pulled out from under you. Those hurt because there's money involved. Yeah. I wasn't getting any money for dating Carrie Amoroso back in the day. Yeah, so
I like that you cut to the chase. Would you like to be my girlfriend?
Yeah, man. I was probably much more awkward than that. It probably sounded like Rocky Balboa or something. We wouldn't mind going out with me too much. Yeah.
I think that would have gotten it done.
Oh, you know what? No, I remember now.
Okay.
It was the worst. It was like a girl I'd gone to prom with my junior year or something. She was a year older than me. She was the it girl, Sean. And it wasn't like I wasn't thinking anything of it or anything, but it became clear to me like we went to an after party and I would find out later like she'd basically already been like pretty much emotionally committed to this other kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I got ditched. I got ditched at the after party that she went off. It hurt a little less because I realized they'd been hooking up for a couple weeks, but she felt committed to go with me. But it was that was a rough feeling, man.
Where, and you look at her side of it, she was probably dreading, like, oh, I'm going to have to go there. I'm going to go home with Seth.
She was telling Steve the whole time, and Steve was a good dude, you know. Like it was, they didn't want to hurt me, which made it feel worse.
Yeah,
it made it feel worse that they were just being nice to me.
Yeah, Did you circle back with her after you played 10 years in the NFL and say, what did Steve end up doing?
No, they got married.
They did?
So, yeah.
So he was at the wedding.
Well, I'm not the Knicks. Yeah. I'm not going to go in and be like, hey, by the way.
No, this would be purely out of pettiness. No desire to hook up with her or anything.
No, because Steve was a good dude. I could never do that. Yeah. And she wouldn't have had me. Yeah, it was a match made in heaven.
Yeah.
And they were like, honestly, by virtue of the fact that neither of them wanted to hurt my feelings, so she still went to prom with me, even though I could tell, like, as prom was progressing, like, what the hell?
This sucks.
One standoffish chick. Yeah.
Prom, too. That it's prom.
Yeah.
You got all dude it up with a tux, and you bought her a corsage and everything.
You lived the sitcom experience. Yeah. That's what that was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. All right, so those are ours. I can't wait to hear yours.
I'm sure as hell going to be looking her up on Facebook 7 minutes from now.
Exactly, yeah. Me too.
God, I hope they're divorced. I hope it really went south for them.
To the quick tease, are y'all's rejections female related?
I could come up with one, I'm sure. One that came to mind immediately is I rejected myself for a well-known murderer.
You what?
I rejected myself for a well-known murderer.
What does that mean?
I don't know. Is that going to get revealed at 10:40?
Yes, it will.
Okay, all right.
Did he live in Rice Village?
What are we doing?
Was it the Galveston dude?
Oh, yeah.
What was his name?
I don't remember. I know what you're talking about. I don't remember.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a Netflix.
Oh, I got another one just popped into mind, too. Remember The National, the sports magazine?
I loved The National.
I was flown up there, put up in a hotel.
Oh.
Frank DeFord himself was going to interview
Frank
me.
Famous Frank DeFord, who was a publisher, right? He was the editor, yeah.
If you remember, that company was owned by a Mexican billionaire.
Okay.
And turns out they just interviewed me because I was Hispanic.
Would you have taken the job if the National
absolutely
had offered you
1991?
A job? Yeah,
I was only at the Chronicle for 1 year.
You were at the Chronicle.
You got Rooney ruled?
I got Rooney ruled.
Rooney ruled.
Yeah. I did.
Which was not really in 1990, still not really quite.
And DeFord was awesome. He's like, look, you're so talented. But I mean, that sounds awful. But I mean, he's like,
wow, he told you that's why they interviewed you?
He said, we've already committed to so and so.
See, now that's. Yeah. Okay. Oh, but he didn't. Yeah. Did he say, like.
But they flew me up and put me up, like, at the Marriott Marquis.
Yeah, they were based in New York. Mm. We used to have a national machine, like a newspaper machine.
They were everywhere.
They were one right next to my apartment my senior year. 1990 was my senior year in college. My old roommate still makes fun of me to this day. Like, you had a routine every day, and it did not involve class. You would wake up at 11, hungover, walk to go get a copy of the National, come back to our apartment, and cook steakums and macaroni and cheese, and read the National, and then watch Days of Our Lives.
You could have been reading John P. Lopez.
Yeah, I could have been. Yeah. Oh, man. Oh, well. We're here now. All right. Reggie's like, get on with it.
No, you've painted the life of my dreams, I think, is what happened.
It was good. Yeah, that's the recipe to like a solid 2.8 GPA. Right now. All right. We are done. Seth, antibodies to you. Looking forward to a Friday with you tomorrow.
Yeah, antibodies to you. And C's and D's at up to degrees.
That's it, man. That's what my daughter says every time I called her in college. C's get degrees, Dad. All right. We're done. We're out of time. KILT AM, KILT FM HD2, Houston, an Odyssey sports station. That's what you're listening to right now.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.